Amen. Is he wonderful to you tonight? You know, we can never get so busy in life that we forget to pause and just tell him how great he is. You know, I don't know about you, but I appreciate a good compliment. Do you? Yeah, I mean, have you ever gotten a really good compliment? Like someone just stopped and said, you know what, you did a really great job with that, or I really like your hair, or you look real pretty today, or how many of you appreciate a real good compliment? Sure you do. Do you know God's the same way? He appreciates a really good compliment, where it's not just the ho-hum, run, and routine of things, but to where you really stop and take time to notice just how wonderful he really has been in your life. And I'm telling you what, if we did that, how many of you know we could go from now until Sunday giving him true thanks for all the amazing things he has done in our lives? We serve a wonderful God. And so I want to encourage you, always tell the Lord that. You know, thankfulness, it ought to be on our lips. I tell you what, complaining and all those things, it ought to be far from us. I like what Peter said. He said, if you enjoy your life, or if you want to enjoy your life and see good days, keep your tongue from evil and see that your lips speak no guile. Amen? Amen. So it's good not to say anything negative, but how many of you know we ought to say some positive things as well? Amen? And lift up our voice in thanksgiving unto God. Amen? Well, let's go before our Father tonight. Father, we come before you. We love you. We honor you. Lord, we do that. We just pause right now and just say thank you. As a church family, you have been amazing to us. From what you've done in this church over the last couple of years, between adding to this family, increasing our effectiveness, paying off this facility, you have been amazing. And we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace that has been demonstrated in this place. And Father, we know with every fiber of our being, the best is yet to come. And Father, we lift up our eyes from the place where we're at and say, we're going forward to greater things. By your grace and by your counsel, we will reach our high calling in Christ Jesus. Help us, Lord, tonight. Give us utterance. Give us boldness. Like always, Father, we ask for your precious and amazing Holy Spirit to breathe life upon the Holy Word. Let us see it. Let us not just read it. Let us see it. Let your Spirit bear witness with our spirit, the spiritual truths we need in order to walk in all that you have for us. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus is our great physician. Magnify him tonight in our hearts and strengthen our faith so that we leave here stronger than when we came. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Turn to someone. Let them know how thankful you are to see them here tonight. It's certainly good to see everyone here tonight on a Wednesday night. And I tell you what, there's a lot of people sitting at home tonight. I'm glad you made it all the way to church. Amen. I tell you what, I like Wednesday nights. Don't you? Get over into the Word of God and learn and grow in some things. I tell you what, didn't we have a great time last Wednesday? Such a wonderful time in the presence of the Lord, and just so appreciated Brother Dustin's testimony. And there's a key there that he mentioned that we're going to major on tonight. And I'm just excited about it. I'm excited about the Word of God. So without further ado, let's go get in it. Let's open up our Bibles tonight to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 5, verse 25. On the screens, if you can go to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. And then after we read that, get ready to pull up what that word Rapha means. Exodus 15, verse 26 on the screens, Mark chapter 5, verse 25 in your Bibles. We've been talking about Jesus being our healer. Amen. Don't get too excited about that. I said we've been talking about Jesus being our healer. And how many of you know He is the great physician? I know He was, but how many of you know He still is the great physician? And we talked about this several Wednesdays ago, that when the children of Israel began their relationship with the Lord, He revealed Himself in several different ways to show them His character and who He was. And there was a particular incident in the book of Exodus that He reveals Himself as not only Jehovah, but Jehovah Rapha, who is the Lord who heals. And we see this instance in Exodus 15, verse 26. He said, "And if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." Notice that last phrase. He says, "For I am the Lord that healeth thee." The actual Hebrew reads, "For I am the Lord your healer." I am the Lord your healer. And so we looked at this word, healeth thee, and we saw that was the word Rapha, and we saw that it meant these seven things. It means I'll mend you, cure you, heal you, repair you, make you whole, preserve you, and be your great physician. And so we got excited over those things. How many of you think it'd do us good to get excited about those things again? So why don't you say this with me? Let's start with number seven, then we'll go to number one. Say this with me. Say, "The Lord is my physician. He mends me, cures me, heals me, repairs me, makes me whole, and preserves me." Oh, come on now. I think you could say it even stronger than that. I think you could just say it with your heart, not just with your mouth. Say it with me. Say, "The Lord, He is my physician. He mends me, cures me, heals me, repairs me, makes me whole, and preserves me." I think the third time would be the charm. Just I think the third time it might put us over. Say, "The Lord, He is my physician. He mends me, cures me, heals me, repairs me, makes me whole, and preserves me." Amen. That's our God. The great physician. And so with this, this is obviously something that's good to learn about, good to strengthen our faith on. Because when you're walking in anything but divine health, it's amazing how important divine health becomes to you. And that's why, once again, if you have health, you ought to give thanks for your health. But this is a subject we need to be strong in. We said this a couple of weeks ago, but I think it's true. Brother Hagin said, Kenneth E. Hagin said, he said, "Every day I strengthen my faith on the subject of faith and healing." He said, every day I strengthen my faith on the subject of faith and healing. And he said this, he said, "Because I've realized that either I'll need it or someone else will." And it's the truth. Throughout your life, you're going to meet people or yourself where you need a dose of faith or you need a dose of God's word on healing. And so with this, we want to take part of this summer on Wednesday nights and strengthen our faith on the subject of healing because either you need it or you'll know someone who does. So we said, with Jesus being our great physician, God being the Lord who heals us, why is there so much sickness? And we said the answer to that is God doesn't work for us. We said God works with us. We are co-laborers with God. And we said that we have a part to play in this. It's just like with sin. How many of you know when Jesus died on the cross, what He did in His death, burial, and resurrection? He paid the penalty for sin. But He also not only paid the penalty for sin, He gave us the power to say no to sin. And then one day will come and He'll put away sin. He'll wipe it away from the face of this earth, create a new heaven and a new earth, and just demolish sin. But that day is not here yet. How many of you know there's still sin in the earth? Now, He's paid the penalty for it, But there's still the power of sin in the earth because sin is still present in the earth. Does that make sense? So when you call upon Jesus to be your Savior, the penalty for sin has been paid, but that doesn't mean sin does not still have power. There's still sin in the earth, and if you're not careful, it will try to exercise its power over you. Now, whenever it tries to exercise its power over you, how many of you know you've got some power to say no to it? God's given you power over all the power of the enemy. And with God's grace, you can say no. But aren't you thankful? Even if you say yes and yield to it, you still got some power that can eradicate it from your life. That's power called mercy. And in God's graciousness and in His mercy, He can wash that sin away from you. Well, the same thing is true with sickness and disease. According to Isaiah 53, at the same time Jesus dealt with sin, He also dealt with sickness. The penalty for sickness has been paid in Jesus. Jesus took on not only all the sin in the world, but also all the sickness in the world. The diseases of all mankind hit Jesus on the cross just like sin did. The penalty for sickness has been paid. But it's still present in the earth, just like sin is still present in the earth. Now there'll be a day, once again, where Jesus creates a new heaven and a new earth, and there'll be no sickness. But in this earth today, there still is sickness present. And just like sin will try to creep in your life and bring you under captivity or put you in bondage, sickness will too. But whenever sickness tries to put its power on you, we have to know we have a power that can overcome that power. Just like we have power to say no to sin, we have power to say no to sickness. And so with this, we want to strengthen our faith in this area. So we said we have two ways in which you and I cooperate with God to say no to sickness, just like we can say no to sin. We said the first thing we have to understand is we have to use wisdom. God's given us a brain and He expects us to use it. And so we talked about that, the power of wisdom. And we saw that right after God revealed Himself as I am the Lord who heals you, Moses' father-in-law came to Moses and said, Moses, the thing that you're doing is not good. And we read that where Moses was judging the people from sun up to sundown, day after day, day after day, just wearing himself out. And Moses' father-in-law said, Moses, the thing that you do is not good. And if you keep on doing this, you are going to wear away. Well, wait a minute. I thought Jesus revealed Himself as someone, or God revealed Himself as someone who would preserve you. He did. I thought God revealed Himself as someone who would mend you. He did. But Moses still had to use wisdom. God expected him to use wisdom. How many of you know if you go out there and drink a whole bunch of arsenic or strychnine or something like that, you could be drinking it, but if the whole time you're confessing Scripture about Jesus is the healer and He's going to mend me, repair me, restore me, I think if He's going to deal with you about anything, it may be to stop drinking the strychnine. And deal with your heart about that. And the same thing is true with anything else. In Moses' case, he was wearing out his body with too much work. And his father-in-law came back and told him, no, this is not good. If you do this, you're going to wear away. And we said there are other things that our mind knows we need to stop doing that. We know if we keep doing that, it's going to be detrimental to our health. And we said sometimes it goes even further than that, where it's not only our minds telling us we need to stop doing that, but God starts dealing with our heart. And He deals with our heart. You need to stop doing that. And we said, if I continue going down that route, it's not just a matter of me using my faith to get rid of that sickness and disease. I must appeal to God's mercy and repent first. Amen. And so with that, we talked about the wisdom side of things, that in order for us to walk in health, we have to understand our bodies, they are not our own. We are to glorify God with this temple. We are to use wisdom and how we treat this body. But we said with that, that there's another part to play. And we're going to talk about the other part now. We're off the wisdom part. We're off that. So we preach two messages on that. You can get those if you want them. But we're moving on. We're moving on to the faith part. But with this, we said the second part, and I just said it, is God expects us to use our faith. And what we see here, to walk in divine health, we're supposed to use our faith. And what we see here in Mark chapter 5 is a woman who used all the wisdom she knew of to eradicate sickness from her body, but it still was not enough. In Mark 5, let's read it and you'll see here. Mark 5, verse 25. This will be a good bridge for this. Mark 5, 25. And it says, a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had but was nothing better, but rather grew worse. Question, is she doing everything in her natural power to get rid of this ailment? Yes, she's using all the wisdom she has. She's using all the money she has to buy the wisdom from other doctors, from other physicians. She spent all her money on trying to eradicate this. She's fighting this with every ounce of natural strength she has, and it's still not changing. In fact, it's getting worse. But one day her life changes, and let's notice what happens here. Verse 27, and when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him. Notice, he could feel the healing power go out of him. He could feel it. He noticed it. Healing went out of him. And notice, we'll get to this later, but notice what this woman received. She did not receive a healing. She received healing power that resulted in a healing. This will help your faith if you can understand that. We'll talk, like I said, we'll go into it in detail later. But sometimes people are frustrated because they come down for a prayer line and they were expecting to receive a healing that immediately they feel better in their body or immediately they feel something different. But what we're going to see throughout this series is that when Jesus ministered, he ministered with healing power that resulted in a healing. So just because you didn't receive a healing doesn't mean you didn't receive healing power that can result in a healing later on. Jesus said, they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall do what? Recover. Notice it uses the word recover. Recover denotes a process. Notice he didn't say, you'll lay hands on them, and immediately every one of them will always feel better. No, because God gives healing power, which can result in healing and miracles. We'll get to that later. But notice this. She felt in her body she was healed of that plague, and Jesus immediately, verse 30, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging me, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Underline that phrase if it's not already. Thy faith, your faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of your plague. Now notice this, what made her whole? Her faith. What did Jesus say made her better? Her faith. Now, question, it wasn't just a matter of her faith, though, was it? Her faith tapped into something. What did it tap into? It tapped into his healing power. When she laid hold of his garment, Jesus felt virtue, that's another word for power, go out of him. And that touch of faith pulled that power out of him. And that power went into her and made her whole of her ailment. Jesus turned to her and said, your faith hath made thee whole. I like what Brother Hagin said. He was a sick boy, 16 years old, incurable heart disease. He said he was reading that one day, and he saw that. And while he saw that, her faith made her whole. He said the Lord spoke to his heart and said, if her faith made her whole, your faith can make you whole. I like that. My faith can make me whole. And I was thinking about this passage the other day, because I was just going to start with where we're about to go next over in Mark chapter 11. But I thought about this, and while I was thinking about it, I remembered what I heard a minister say. And the minister said this, and I thought it was really profound. I thought it was really good. He said, this woman took a healing. She took a healing. She made up her mind to just go take one. And I went and read that story, and I've always heard that. But when I went back and read the story, I said, you know what? He's exactly right. She took a healing. Jesus did not initiate this. Jesus was on the way to someone else's house to go work a healing for them. Jesus didn't know this woman from Adam. He didn't come to her and a voice thunder from heaven and say, woman, I have seen your pain these last 12 years, and I am here, and I have sent my son to set you free from this incurable disease. No, that didn't happen. What happened? She was sitting in her house, and some way or another, she heard of Jesus. Now, we don't know what she heard, but apparently she must have heard something about there's healing in him. And when she heard that, faith settled down in her heart that I can be healed of this. And she made a decision to initiate this. She made it her responsibility to go take it, not to wait on Jesus to come to her house, not to wait on Jesus to hold a crusade right next door. She made a decision to go out and get what she wanted. And she went out of her house, even in her weakened state, pressed through the multitude. You get the implication. She almost may have been on the ground crawling because she touched the hem of his garment, the very bottom of his garment. She's pressing through the multitude. We know there's a multitude there because when Jesus said, someone's touched me, his disciple says, well, of course, someone's touched you. You got a multitude thronging you. But notice this. When she walks up, she not only touches him with the hand, her natural hand, but she also touches with the hand of faith. And as soon as she does, healing power is made manifest in her body. This is interesting. She initiated this. She took a healing. Could we agree with that? She took a healing. She took a healing. This was, she initiated it. She took it. And I was thinking about that. And I thought, what a wonderful skill to learn. How to take a healing. When you need a healing in your body, when your children need a healing in their body, what a wonderful skill to learn how to take a healing. And I think this story is in here to teach us how to take one. Because I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where I'd like to lay hold on one, just laid hold on a healing. And this woman did it. She reached out, she initiated it, and she took a healing. And friend, I'm telling you, the tool that she used to take this healing was a tool God has given all of us. He's given us all the measure of faith. Jesus attributed the healing to not only his power, in fact, he didn't even make mention of it, but what he attributed his power to, or the miracle to, was her faith making her whole. And if you and I can learn how to walk in wisdom that would keep us from getting sick a lot of times or dealing with things we shouldn't have to deal with, if you and I can learn to walk in wisdom, do smart things and follow our heart, but then also learn also how to reach out with the hand of faith and lay hold on what we need to lay hold on from the Lord, I think we can walk in divine health and see the Lord be our great physician. Now, we see obviously here that how she took a healing was she took it with the hand of faith. So if we're going to learn how to take healing for ourselves, we have to learn how faith for healing works. In order to do that, let's see what Jesus had to say about it. Go to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And on the screens, if you can go to Romans 10, verse 9. Romans 10, 9 on the screens. Mark 11. And let's look here in verse 22 in your Bibles. And Jesus answering unto them, most of you know what happened before this. Jesus spoke to a fig tree. Day later, they're walking by it. Peter brings it to the master's attention that the fig tree he's spoken to is dried up from the roots. And Jesus answers all this and says in verse 22, have faith in God. Now, if he would have stopped right there, we would have been in trouble. Because how do you have faith in God? In fact, the correct Greek translation of this is have the God kind of faith. So he instructs us, me and you and them, to have faith in God. Like I said, we'd be in trouble if that's all he said, because how do you have faith in God? Well, here he goes on to teach us and to tell us how to have the God kind of faith, how to have faith in God. Now, remember, why is this important? Because what's the tool God's given us to take our healing? Faith's the tool. So if I'm going to have faith in God, I've got to learn how. Notice this in verse 23. He teaches us. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever, that's me and you, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith will come to pass, he will have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Let's read those two verses again, verse 23 and verse 24. Verily I say unto you, that whosoever, that's me and you, will say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and, so I've got to say and do something. It's not just a matter of having what I say. It's a matter of I say something and I add something to that saying. Well, what is it? And shall not doubt in his heart, but believe. And notice, you don't get to pick and choose what you're to believe. You're to believe something very specific. What is it? Believe that those things which you sayeth will come to pass, then he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, are in light of all that was said in verse 23, I'm going to say the following unto you. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Out of the King James, and I love this point. This is a huge, huge point. And it has always helped me immediately identify myself as to why I have experienced results in any area in believing God, and why I haven't seen results in any area where I'm believing God. He gives us three points. He says, Mark chapter 11, verse 23, and then he sums up Mark 11, verse 23 and verse 24 with the word therefore. He said, now I said all that to you, so now I'm going to say this unto you. I'm going to put all that in a nutshell in verse 24. And he says, number one, you have to desire. What do you want? Desire it. Then he says, number two, pray. Now in verse 23, he talked about saying, but either way, the faith, the desire has to be released. You've got to speak it. You've got to say it. You've got to ask God for it. You got to speak it with your mouth. Pray. Then number three, believe you receive. Now notice once again, he highlighted something very specific. Believe, you receive. Now notice after that third step, believe, you receive, what comes after that? Let's read it, verse 24 again. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and what? You will have them. Question. At what point do I have the things I have been desiring, that I've been praying about, that I've been believing for? At what point do I receive the things I desire and pray for? It's not here, is it? What things soever you desire, but desire's not enough. Is it enough to desire healing? Is it enough to really, really want to be well? He says you have to take that desire and you have to do what? You've got to pray. It's not enough to really, really want the mountain to move. You have to speak unto the mountain, right? But is it enough just to pray? Is it enough to just speak? No, no, no. In verse 23 and verse 24, he says there's another step. What's the other step? It's the last step. And the last step is believe that you receive. In verse 23, it was wired this way, and believe that the things that you have said will come to pass. So it's not enough to desire something. And it's not enough to just be praying for something or be speaking to something. I don't receive anything from the Lord until I get in this position. It is this position, point number three, believe you receive. It is this position where I see miracles. And until I get there, I'm not seeing God move. Jesus said, when you believe you receive, then it will be given unto you. And he didn't say, once again, believe that Jesus is the healer or believe that Jesus will give healing. He said, you must believe that you receive. Even though you may not see it yet, you have to believe you receive. Well, somebody said, I believe I receive after I receive. No, you don't receive until you believe you receive. You believe you receive it first, then you receive it. This is faith. In Romans 10, verse 9, he said that if thou wilt confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now notice this with salvation, I have to believe something specific. Question, is it enough to just believe Jesus is a good person? Will that get me in heaven? No. Well, believing if I'm a good person, will that get me in heaven? No, I must believe something specific. What must I believe in order to be born again? I must believe in my heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and then I will be saved if I confess him as Lord. Does that make sense? In order for salvation to be in my life, it's not a matter of I get to pick and choose what I want to believe. I have to believe something specific. I have to believe Jesus is my Lord. I have to believe God has raised him from the dead. I have to call upon that name. Make sense? Jesus said, if you want to see miracles, you need three things. You need a desire. That desire must be released. But you're still not going to see miracles until you get here. Until you believed you receive, even though in the natural, you're no closer to your miracle than you were before you prayed. And he says, if you can get to this place, believe you receive when you pray, you're going to see miracles. Now in my life, I can only speak for me, but in my life, I have been guilty of desiring and praying, but never really getting here. There have been some things in my life I've really, really wanted to see changed. There have been some things in my life that not only did I want to see changed, I prayed and asked God for him to change them. But I have never, ever in my life seen a miracle until I've gotten here. And what the majority of the church world believes is that if I desire it and I pray for it, then it's up to God to do whatever he wants to with it. And sometimes he will do something with it, and sometimes he won't do something with it. And sometimes it is his will, and then at other times maybe it's not his will. And they've never really gotten to this place. At the end of a service, it's not enough for people to come forward and just desire to see change and then ask for prayer to see it changed. If we never get here, we will never see change. Go over to James. I know we look at this verse a lot. I didn't intend to go here, but it backs this up. Once again, never just believe a preacher. Make him show you multiple scriptures. Go to the book of James. James is after Hebrews. And notice this in James chapter 1. This backs this up. James chapter 1 and verse 5. James 1 verse 5. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, and you could take wisdom out and put in anything that you lack, let him ask of God. You see a desire for something, a need for something, then you do what? You pray, you ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. Now notice, that sounds like you can leave out this third step, doesn't it? Desire, you lack something. Oh, I desire to have the thing that I lack. And then pray, and it's going to be given to me. But notice, it doesn't stop there. It follows it up with the verse after, with a qualifier. Everyone say qualifier. He says, there's a qualifier to this desiring and praying business. This is not just enough. You've got to do something. Well, what must I do? Notice this. But let him ask in what? Faith. Question, can I have a desire and be asking for it, but still not be in faith? Oh, yeah. And he says, but let him ask in faith, nothing what? Wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Notice verse 7. For let not that man think he shall receive not just wisdom, but anything from the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. That sounds a lot like Mark 11, verse 24. That I've got to get here, believe I receive. And that's got to be so big in my heart. That's got to be so real to me. That whatever life throws at me, I'm not wavering. Whatever life throws at me, I'm not backing off of it. And until I'm at that place, he says, don't be like a wave that's driven with the sea and tossed. Well, what's a wave? It's up and then it's down. It's up and then it's down. It's up and then it's down. When you believed you received when you prayed, you know you've got your answer, even though you may not see the answer. You've counted God faithful to honor his word. And he says, when you're at that place, that's when you receive. But if I'm not here, I am not allowed to believe that just because I'm doing these two things, I am going to see God move. He says, in fact, if all I'm doing is these two things, but never get here, I'm not to allow myself to think I will receive anything from him. Is that your Bible? Did your Bible read that? My Bible did. So what's the key to healing? In some shape, form, or fashion, I've got to get to this place. What's the key to miracles? Somehow, some way, I've got to get here. This is where my healing is. This is where my answer is. This is where my kid's healing is. It's right here. And these steps can help lead to this. But if these steps never lead to that, if I just stop right here and never get over here, I can't expect to receive anything from him. I can't be wavering in my approach towards this sickness, towards this problem. I give you an instance. Well, you heard the testimony last week. Most of you, I think, were here. If you weren't, you can listen to the podcast, get the CD. We had a guy who gave his testimony, Dustin McCain. And years ago, he came into the church. Years ago. I'm picking on Dustin. He's getting older. I'm kidding. But anyway, he came into the church, and he heard my father preaching. And my father was preaching one day on the subject of healing. And as he's preaching, you heard his testimony, on the subject of healing, he's reading all these different scriptures and saying, what are you going to do about this? The same Jesus who saved you is the same Jesus who will heal you. Now, the whole time Dustin is hearing this, what's happening to his heart? Faith is coming. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God, according to Romans chapter 10. So with this, faith is coming into his heart. Faith for what? Faith for healing. And he leaves the service with what? Faith, believing he has received so much so that when he gets home with Crohn's disease and all that, still the diagnosis, still the doctors have told him he has it. He gets home and he's so confident in his healing. He didn't even have someone pray for him. There was no healing line that day. He was just sitting in a service, heard the word of God, accepted it as truth, came home and told his mom, "I'm healed from Crohn's." You heard him last week, flushed all his medication down the toilet. His mom got so nervous, called the doctor. "What's going to happen?" She said, "Look, in 6 weeks, he'll be back in the hospital. If he keeps going, he'll need surgery." And in 6 weeks, like he said, he was back in the hospital. But even with symptoms still going on in his body, what did he say last week? He said, "It may be something else, but I know it's not Crohn's. Because God has healed me of Crohn's." His mind was so fixed on the Word of God, so that even with symptoms in his body, he was convinced it can't be Crohn's, because I know God has healed me of Crohn's. Question, was he here? When you heard his testimony last week, can you see he was here? And what happened? The doctor called him up later, took him out to dinner. Big smile on his face, handed him the medical charts, told him he was healed. Completely healed, never seen anything like it. How'd he get there? Faith. What was the end result of his faith? Receiving. But what was the last step of his faith? Believing he received. Even though in his own body he felt the symptoms still there. In spite of the symptoms, he would not waver. In spite of the symptoms, he would not second guess. He believed he received. And he got his miracle. Friend, I'm telling you, I've seen this happen so many times, it's ridiculous. I'll give you, Brooks and Celeste here. Yeah, there's Celeste. I remember when Brooks, her husband, won a Hummer, big Hummer. He knew he had heard from God that he was going to win that car. He knew it. He works for a company called Prepaid Legal. And he knew, or now, is it Legal Shield now? Legal Shield. He knew that when he went to the seminar, I think it was in Tulsa, he knew he was going to win that car. He knew God spoke to him and told him, "It's your car." He believed he received, so much so that he went to go sell his car he drove up there in before he won the car. This was not just something he desired. This was not just something he was praying for. He knew in his heart it was his car. They were texting back and forth. "It's Hummer time. Now thousands of people could win this thing." They're texting back. He knew he won it. He knew he won it. Long before he won it, he knew. And guess what? He won the car. They called him up on stage. He gave the testimony. But how did he see that miracle? How did he get there? He got there first. And until you get here, you'll never get there. You got to get it in you. I heard what Brother Copeland said, that the Lord dealt with his heart when he first started his traveling ministry, to believe God for an airplane. And he said, "The problem was, is I couldn't get the wings in." He couldn't wrap his heart around it. No, he wanted it. He could pray for it. But until his heart could be wrapped around it, it never would manifest. And I'm telling you, this is a faith principle not just for healing, but for anything else. If you want to see God move, your heart has got to be wrapped around. Jesus said, it's not just a matter of asking, over in the book of John. He said, "And my words abide in you." That the Word of God has taken up residency in your heart and it's a revelation to you. I'll tell you this testimony and then we'll close service. But what sparked this series is I woke up one night months ago with a sharp pain. Just a sharp pain in my body. You're a man and want to be tough, so you shake it off. And tried to go back to bed, but the pain was still really sharp. And I'd never felt anything quite like that. And it would come and go, but I'd be walking and that pain would get so sharp, I'd stop. I'd have to stop, kind of pace myself. So I went to the doctor, want to see if there's anything, you know, going on there. I went to the doctor and I told him my symptoms. And he gave me an antibiotic and some pain medication. I didn't take the pain medication. I don't like loopy stuff. And so I took the antibiotic, but the pain was still there all throughout it. So I went back to the doctor. And he said, well, sometimes you got to take a double dose. So he gave me the same antibiotic. Took it a little bit long, still there. And I'm not just talking about, like I said, just a little pain you can ignore. I'm talking about like pain that makes you want to take a sit and just grab a hold of something, just stand there. And people are talking to you, and it's like, I know you're talking to me, but I'm not hearing a word you're saying. And I talked to the Lord a lot about it. And man, I tell you what, I really wanted that pain to go. And man, I tell you what, I was talking to the Lord a lot about that pain. And one night, it got so bad, me and my wife were going on a trip the next day. It got so bad and so strong, and I knew I was going to be sitting on an airplane for a couple of hours, and there you can't move. You're locked in. So I thought, something is wrong. So I got in my car to go to the emergency room. That's how bad the pain was. Got in my car to go to the emergency room. And while I'm going out, the Lord speaks to my heart and he says, you're fine, but you can go to the emergency room to ease your mind. And so I went to the emergency room. It's like 11 o'clock at night. Sunday night. After I preached all weekend. And I'm talking to the Lord about it the whole time I'm in the emergency room. They check me in. They run some tests, all those types of things. Put me on another antibiotic with a stronger pain medication. Anyway, just said, you know, I told them I'm flying out the next day. They said, well, you know, you can stay and we can run more advanced tests, but we're not specialists in this area, but you'd have to miss your trip. I said, I'm not missing my trip. I'm going. And so I went on the trip. The Lord sustained me. Had a good time. But anyway, I got back home and went to see the specialist. Make a long story short, run out of time. I get to the specialist, and they can't figure it out. They can't figure it out. And so I got home from that, and I really talked to the Lord about it. Really. You know, sometimes we just don't take the time. And so I started talking to the Lord about it. And I know all these things. Like I'm telling you, I know all these things. I know these scriptures. And I'm talking to the Lord about it. I said, Lord, you know, I know you're my healer. I know you're my great physician. I know one of my benefits is you heal all my diseases. I know you're a good God and that Jesus is the healer. I know he is. I said, Lord, this is ridiculous. This stuff is lingering. And I look like a fool just stopping periodically. Walking down the hall, just stopping. They're wondering why you stop. They think you're trying to make a point on something. It's just, no, I can't move any further. And so I asked the Lord, what is going on here? And he told me this. He said, your faith is weak in that area. Your faith is weak there in that area. Do you know you can have faith real high in one area, but real low in another? Just like you can have two cars with gas fully supplied in one and the other one that your wife drives always sitting on. Now, I'm kidding. Kind of. It was funny. We were in the car the other day. My little girl was in the back seat. She said, Daddy, what does that mean? She pointed to the fuel gauge. I said, that tells you how much fuel is in your car. She said, yours is always on F. Mom's is always on E. She said, I promise. She said that. I said, baby, when you see that thing getting close to E, you either tell mommy or you tell daddy where we can get it fixed. She came home one day, 8 miles, chill empty. 8 miles. I'm telling on her. I'm going to get in trouble. I need her at home. We're better now. The problem is I need to take it out more to go get it filled up. That's right. That's right, ladies. That's right. That's right. That's right. Where was I? But the Lord dealt with me. He said, your faith is weak in that area. And as soon as he said it, I knew he was right. And you know what? Because ever since my father passed away, when I was 17, this has been one area that I've always had to watch. Because that was so sudden for me. You know, you see him at breakfast one day. Then you're at school and you never talk to him again. That I'm too quick sometimes. I'm trying to help you by telling my story. Because we're all growing in this. So, but ever since that, I turn to things too quick. Things alert me too fast. And if you allow things to move you out of peace, what are you? You're like a wave that's tossed to and fro. And so with this, especially with three kids, there have been times where my oldest son now, he got diagnosed one time with swine flu and pneumonia at the same time. Went in, took him to the doctor. He's tough, man. You never know, he wasn't feeling well. Took him in. They said, he's got swine flu and pneumonia. He needs to be taken to the emergency room. I told the doctor, I said, give me an hour. Give me an hour. And my faith rose up and took a healing for that boy. I mean, took a healing for that boy. Brought him back in an hour, not a symptom in his body. The doctor verified it. Our pediatrician verified it. But then there have been other times where my other son, Ben, earlier this year, was walking on the treadmill one day. And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, "Your Ben has pneumonia." Well, he wasn't acting, you know, his best, but he didn't seem like that. I said, okay. But I knew he had it. So I told my wife, I said, take him in. So she took him in, and he had pneumonia. And he did get hospitalized over at Blair E. Badson. And we walked in that place. You know, you got a little baby there, less than a year old, with a mask on and all those things. But it shakes you. And so he's there, and they say he's going to stay here till Sunday. His oxygen level was real low. And I went home that night to take care of our kids, our oldest two. And I came up to that hospital that next morning, and me and my wife had done the exact same thing. The whole night and morning, we were in Scripture. We were in Scripture. And when he went in, my faith, oh, it was shaken. But buddy, we came up there that Friday. He went in that Thursday. We came up there that Friday, and we both said, we're going home tonight. We are going home tonight. We knew it. Well, the doctor came in. We said, when's the earliest you think we can go home? She said, at the earliest, Sunday night. And so we looked at each other and smiled. She left and said, no, we're going home tonight. I knew it. They came in 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, still Sunday. Came in at 6 o'clock, checked them and said, what are y'all still doing here? Y'all can go home tonight. Well, you, there's no use in you paying for that. He's fine. They ran all the tests, completely fine. Well, what happened? Our faith rose up. But see, his healing didn't rise up until our faith did. Or how'd that faith get there? Not through just desire or through prayer. At some point, you got to get there. And so with all these things, the Lord spoke to my heart about this pain that was in my body. I mean, sharp pain. And told me my faith was low. And I knew he was right. It had been a while since I'd really studied it. Just really got in it. Faith for healing. And so I made a decision. I'm going to go through every scripture. I'm going to read all these books. I'm going to highlight the scriptures like I had not highlighted before. I even got out a new Bible just to go over and treat it like it was brand new to my heart. And I tell you what, my faith rose up. And I haven't had an issue with that since my faith rose up. But it didn't come by desiring. And it didn't come by just praying. And it didn't come by God just being a good God. All those things were already there. Jesus being my healer was already there. But I had to be honest with myself and say, you know what, Joel? You have not been here. You can check that off. When you're stopping in the hallway, you want to be well. You can check the prayer off. Talk to God about it a lot. It just took me time to get there. But there is where the miracle was. Just like Jesus said it would be. And so with this, I want to train us how to get there. How to get over into a place where we all believe we receive when we pray. Amen? Amen. So over the next couple of weeks, we're just going to study it. We're going to study the subject of healing. Let our faith be built up so that if you need healing, you can rise up and take it like Dustin did in that service. But if nothing else, you can write down all the scripture references in your Bible. And when a case rises up in your life and you need to take a healing, you can go back, build your faith up, and take the healing Jesus bought and paid for you to have. Amen? Amen. Now, Sunday, I was praying, as I was praying in between services, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, on Wednesday night, at the end of service, tell people that if they've been dealing with not being able to have children, to come down and to have someone in particular pray for them. Is Pam here? Pam, yeah, right there. Pam, why don't you stand up real quick? She's in the orange here. She's going to be down here at the altar and after service. And, of course, we have prayer room workers down here for anything that you need. But if you've been believing God to have a child, come down here and have her pray for you. And I believe you can see some neat things happen in your body. But remember, when you leave here, what's the secret? Where do you got to get? Believe and you receive when? When prayer is made, not when you feel any different, not when the thing reads positive, no. Believe you receive as soon as prayer is made. Amen? Amen. Let me pray for you before you leave. Father, we come before you. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Father, we thank you. We will move ourselves in a position to believe we receive when we pray. We love you, Lord. We praise you that you are our healer. And we thank you, Lord, for the healings you're working in our bodies. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand to your feet. Say this with me. Say, Jesus is my healer, my great physician. He mends me, cures me.